And on the 12th day of Christmas, what true love gave to me, I can't remember the words to the song, but I know today's Epiphany. That was horrible, and I made you listen to it. Welcome to the end of Christmas, otherwise known as Epiphany, and the Adoration of the Magi. Let's hit it.
There are Jews in the world, there are Buddhists, there are Hindus and Mormons, and then there are those that follow Mohammed, but I've never been one of them.
How's your faith these days, Father?
Fiat Jesu Domine, dona eis requiem.
Oh, Lord, oh, you are so big, so absolutely huge.
Do you think maybe he's compensating for something?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
What did we learn?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
I want you to know that I probably record each of these pieces to my podcast about 3 or 4 times. This time, I'm going to try and make it clean, which I probably already haven't because I am droning on and on about how much I mess up. Oh well, it's Epiphany. Give myself grace. That's my resolution. So, Epiphany happens 12 days after the day of Christmas. And the in-between times is that 12 day of Christmas where your true love is giving you all that crap. Tons of birds. Tons of stuff. And are the Milkmaids and Lords of Leaping, are they, like, servants? Are they employed by you? I really want those answers. But besides all that stuff that, you know, this person is shopping around to try and find your perfect present. 5 golden rings? Really? Wow. We have this small thing that we have to deal with. And it's kind of blatant. What the heck is Epiphany? Well, so you know, Epiphany is the day that Jesus' divinity and cause is revealed to everyone, to the world. And the readings usually are dealing with the 3 magi, the 3 wise men. They are the wedding in Cana and his first, quote, miracle. And finally, the 3rd one is, strangely enough, his baptism. When the doves came down, the skies opened up, and God said, "This is my boy. I made that. Woo-hoo!" So our reading comes from Luke, and let's begin. So the reading for this week is, well, not this week, but for this holiday, is Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Let's go. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. So it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go, search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so I too may go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. Then they saw that the star had stopped. They were overwhelmed with joy. Upon entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Thus ends the reading, folks. And I guess now I get to go into my own little whooshkaboo about what I want to talk about today. And that, I want to let you know that there's this beautiful old tradition about the star in the east. According to the story, this star, when they had finished its task of directing the wise men to the baby, it fell from the sky and dropped into the city well of Bethlehem. And, according to some legend, that star is there to this day, and sometimes still seen by those whose hearts are pure and clean. Pretty story. Makes you feel warm inside. Of course, there are other legends that have propped up through the years about this story as well. About the wise men from the east, for example. How many of them were there? In the old days, in the east, they believed there were 12 who made the journey. Kind of foreshadowing the whole apostles. But now everyone agrees there were 3. And one of the news stories even tells us the names of the 3. Melchior, the oldest of the group with a full beard, he's the one who gave the gift of gold. Balthazar had a beard as well, but not as old as Melchior. He gave the gift of myrrh. And the youngest of 3 was Caspar. He had no beard yet, but did present the gift of frankincense to the baby. And yet another legend goes on to tell us that after seeing the baby, these 3 continued traveling west as far as Spain, telling the world the good news about what they had seen. These stories bring the wise men a little more to life and add a lot of extra color to the meaning of Christmas. Honestly, I'm scared they can also get in the way. See, the problem with legends is that sometimes all that color they're adding to the original story isn't needed. In fact, sometimes the legends are so colorful, they're so unbelievable, they can make the entire thing unbelievable as well. Kind of like that star falling into the well. It makes you feel warm inside, but it also throws all of it into question. Because why only the clean of heart and pure of heart can see it? No one's going to admit being impure. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not out to ban the legends. I'm not out to say, oh, all this malarkey is malarkey and we can't have any of it. I just think it might be worthwhile for us to break it down and hear that story one more time. The way it was first told, I guess you could say. With some history attached to it to really bring it to earth. So, listen along if you'd like. I mean, that's why you're here, is to listen to me talk. Which, by the way, thank you, and if you want to leave 5 stars for me, that'd be awesome. It helps me out, gets me seen better, helps spread the word further. But let's all get it started sometime after Jesus was born. It could have been a few weeks, a few years. You remember that when Herod tried to kill the baby, he ended up murdering every child under the age of 2. So apparently he had no clue how long it had been either. The one thing we do know about the time is that it was explosive. Every nation in that part of the world was on edge. We have historical writings from all over the place. We read that nations shared this belief that it was fated that a tremendous new king was about to arrive. And that we can find them in the Mideast, we can find them in the Near East, we can find them in the Far East. So, that being said, from throughout the Roman Empire to Armenia, as far away as Persia, the people were waiting for a new king. And Persia is where we're going to find this particular story. Because some years back, there had been an attempt to overthrow the Persian government by a group called the Medes. But it kind of failed. And since they couldn't destroy the Persians, well, they joined them. They were very educated, they were deeply respected for their understanding of science, religion, and astronomy. They were good, holy men, and some were given the name Magi. They believed that the stars controlled what happened on Earth. And if a new king was to be born in the heavens, they would give a sign. And apparently, to them, they did. Just what it is exactly those early astronomers saw, we have no clear clue. There was a brilliant appearance of Halley's Comet in the year 10 BC, and some believe that may have been it. There were two tremendously bright times in 7 BC and 3 BC as well, when Saturn and Jupiter and Venus appeared right next to each other as one star. Now, that was always believed to be the sign of a king's birth, and some believe that is what the Magi saw. Others think that the star was a one-time appearance of something supernatural. Honestly, we don't know. The Bible just says, we saw his star and have come. Which just brings us to the next point. How many? Were there 12? Were there 3? Were there more? Were there less? We don't know that either. Scripture never says. They gave 3 gifts, and from that we've decided to suppose that there were 3 gift givers. I'm not even sure where they got the notion that they were kings. It must have been from that hymn, as far as I can tell. Words of their arrival from the east made quite an impression on Jerusalem. The greatest impression was made upon Herod. He was impressed, so he threw open the house for them and said, "Welcome to Judea." And during that time, he pulled them aside and confided in them. He was told them that he was just as excited as they were that the new king was born, and he would certainly appreciate it if they found the dude. Send him word so he could visit, at least in the family, a congratulations card. Herod, though? See, this guy was weird. He's definitely complicated. He could be compassionate. Back during the famine of 25 BC, he had his own gold plate melted down and the money given to the poor. More than once, he refunded taxes to those who were having hard times getting by. But you know what? He was a devilishly cruel man as well. He murdered his wife, his mother-in-law, and at least 3 of his own sons. Later in life, when he was about ready to die, he ordered the arrest of 100 of the most respected citizens of Jerusalem. Just shoved them into a prison with a very strict order that the moment of his death, all 100 of the prisoners should be killed. Because he wanted to be sure people would cry at his funeral. Herod had this great potential for good, but was driven by, clearly, some sort of nightmarish jealousy. Kind of narcissism 1.1. If he saw any threat, real or imagined, he did whatever necessary to destroy it. And I guess you can definitely tell, the new baby king was a real threat. His foreigners would unwittingly help carry out the necessary destruction that he wanted. Really? I always wondered if these wise men bought his story. Herod was good. I mean, he politicked in Rome to get reinstated as king when he got run out of town after his little massacre. But was he that good? We've all been on the receiving end of one of these stories at one time or another. And know that some people can be really convincing and others, not so much. But Herod, even if they doubted what he said, it wouldn't have been too smart to say so. Just to be sure they caught on, God filled them in during a dream, and they never sent the message to King Herod. They did find that baby, though. They bowed down, they worshipped him, they gave him gifts. They gave him gold, an appropriate marker that he was a king. They gave him frankincense, a powerful-smelling incense that was a usual gift given to a priest. Which is cool, because that meant they understood that the king of the Jews, the king of Judea, was traditionally up to that point, up until very recently, also the head priest. And they also gave him myrrh. This one probably raised people's eyebrows a bit. See, myrrh is this spice. It's really, really pungent and fragrant that they'd rub all over your body before in preparation for burial. It's kind of like their embalming fluid, but it doesn't really embalm you. It does, however, keep the scent of you rotting in the desert down. So, kudos for that. Which brings us to the next part. They went home, but we don't know when they came, when they went, how long they stayed. And we don't know how many there were. We know they probably were not kings. The star in the heaven may have been a natural astronomical phenomenon like a supernova that occurred before and has since. May have been a one-time astronomical phenomenon like the supernova I just mentioned. And probably isn't sitting on the bottom of Bethlehem's well. Sometimes it helps to peel away all that extra folklore and look at what's left. We know that an entire known world was holding its breath waiting for something. Kind of like that little boy in Incredibles looking, sitting on his big wheel, looking at the house, waiting for something big to happen. And we know that a team of the greatest scholars alive believed that the baby born in Bethlehem, in that cow stall, was that king of the world. We also know that Herod the Great was scared and believed that Mary's boy was that new king as well. These bare, naked, bone-dry facts are enough for all of them to believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Emmanuel. I really pray that's enough for us as well. Anyway, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. I love you guys. Stay tuned. Well, not stay tuned, but please take a look in the description. Find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere else that is linked down below. Follow me, like me, hate me, send me death threats, send me goodwill. Give me comments. Give me all the stuff. I love doing this, and I really would like to expound upon more things, but I just don't know where to begin. So I'm letting you tell me where to begin. And when I'm done with this podcast, I'm starting up on my next one for Sunday. I hope you like it. I believe it's the baptism of Jesus, which is always fun. Whee! Good times had by all. Anyway, I hope you guys are good to each other. Stay good. Keep quacking. Peace.